السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this week's khutbah on the topic of the insan, the man, and his responsibility. Alhamdulillah, all praises are for Allah, who has guided us to His way so we can realize who we really are and what it really means to be human. For He is the most compassionate, Ar-Rahman, the one who created man, insan, and the one who taught him speech, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of absolute love, adoration and worship except Allah, the One, the utterly unique, having no partners in His oneness, the Master of all, the True, the One who clarifies and makes clear all things. And I bear witness that our Master, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the slave of Allah and His Messenger. O Allah, send Your prayers, blessings and grace upon our Prophet Muhammad, and upon his family, the pure, and all his companions, and whomsoever follows them in the best of ways till the last day, amma ba'd, to continue. I advise you, slaves of Allah and myself, with an awe-filled consciousness of Allah, for verily Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O mankind, serve your Lord who created you and those that were before you, so that happily you will be God-fearing. Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings in general, and mankind in the absolute sense, in the most beautiful and perfect of forms, both outwardly and inwardly. And this is why He says, Jalla wa ala, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Indeed, we have certainly created man in the best of statures and molds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after creating man in such an amazing stature, has bestowed upon him the most honorable of honors, the most noble of nobilities, by saying,
وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have certainly honored the children of Adam, and carried them upon land and sea, and provided for them of the good things, and preferred them over much of what we have created with a definite preference. And so this tafdil, this preference of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pertains to the manifest way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this specialness within the soul of man. And about this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us about His breathing into Adam, this special soul, and commanding the angels who are gathered around him therein to bow down to Adam in sajda out of reverence of this magnificent creation or creative act from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us of this event by saying,
إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِن رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, So mention when your Lord said to the angels, "Indeed, I'm going to create a human being from clay." So when I proportioned him and breathed into him my created soul, then fall down to him in prostration. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by doing this, delineated the special rank of Adam and the special rank of the soul that was within, then through this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also elsewhere in the Quran was alluding to the other things, the bodily functions, the sensorial experiences that are the doorways to the soul. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have we not made for him two eyes? And have we not given him a tongue and two lips? And have we not shown him the two ways? And the ways are the ways of understanding. Either we can draw nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we draw away from Him. To know that the ways by which we draw nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by using the faculties that He's given us in a way that accentuates the light in our souls, that allows us to realize that soul faculty is a very special thing that has been created to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the epitome of ilm. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled out man for a special knowledge. About this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches or has taught man that which he knows not. And so what is this specialness? What is this special knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created mankind for? About this, if we reflect on the Quran, especially the ayah whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delineates what He created man for, we will come to understand this better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I did not create jinn and mankind إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, except to worship me. And about this, Ibn Abbas in his famous tafsir says, أي إِلَّا لِيَعْرِفُونَ, except to know. Because any true ibadah is contingent or dependent upon ma'rifah. The degree to which you know that which it is you are worshipping is the degree to which you can perform your ibadah correctly. Because in reality, tahqiqul ibadah, the reality of ibadah, is iqrarul rububiyyah, is understanding the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind with this special responsibility, with this singling out, in that it was mankind and jinn who took on this responsibility to engage with the faculty of having a free will, to engage with the faculty of being able to maximize and ascertain and make tahqiq, to realize the ubudiyyah therein, then with that comes the responsibility. And that responsibility is, how do you do so? And the way to do so is the way that's outlined by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is what? To firstly do the fara'id, to engage in that which is obligatory, to make sure that we get the haram out of our lives, because it's not been made ma summiya haraman, it's not been made haram, except that it makes yuharrimuka, it prevents you from wusul, from arriving at this goal. And so it's been made for a haram for a purpose, it's been made haram for your benefit, so that you can grow up, so that you can benefit and you can draw nearer to Allah. Because every time you engage in that which is haram, it takes you away from your own destiny, from what you have been kept in charge of. And so the first thing is we do the fard. And from the fard is we get the haram out of our lives, to the best of our ability. And every time we fall short, we turn back to Allah with tawbah. And with tawbah there is this renewed inaba, there is renewed intention to remove the haram from our lives. But with this there is also the ascertaining and doing of the halal. And so we bring the fard into our lives. And from that, we, most of us, all of us will know what the fard is. It's to pray the salat, the five daily prayers, to do the hajj if we, when it's possible, zakat every once a year, lunar year, to do the fasting in the month of Ramadan. These are the sort of things that we have to, that no, this is ground zero. This is base level in terms of our responsibility. But then, once we've got the fard, then we choose the way of mahabba, the way of love, which is to do the nawafil, and to bring more of the nawafil, which is the supererogatory, or the extra, which is, how can I draw nearer to Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were things that he did that he never left, even though they weren't fard, such as qiyam fil layl, to get up in the middle of the night, such as duha, such as so many other things that he did, because this is the way of ihsan, that we will strive to perfect ourselves. And so you engage in the nawafil, and the person who engages in the nawafil and continues engaging in the nawafil, what is the outcome? Hatta uhibba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to love such a person. And when he loves such a person, then he gives that person the unts by which he's made called an insan. You've been called an insan because you have the ability to attain this uns, this intimate love, even though you have within yourself the capacity for nisyan, the capacity to forget. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, he said, "Ahabbu an-nas ila Allah ta'ala anfa'uhum lin-nas." The most beloved of people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the people who are the most beneficial to other people. Because the sign that they've made tahqiq of this ubudiyah in themselves is that they are beneficial now to other people. They are there to help other people. And this starts with the most, all the relationships. A person who's claiming to be in a state of ubudiyah and he's not able to fulfill the huquq, the rights of the people around him, is a liar. And so this starts with the primary relationship, the relationship of what? The people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used as the asbab to bring you in this world, your parents. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. And we have certainly enjoined upon man to his parents a type of ihsan, goodly treatment. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this extends to all of our womb relations, the relations that we have in our lives, literally womb relations, the ulul arham. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. And fear Allah, through whom you ask one another, and the relationships of the wombs. And this includes our mothers and those we're connected to. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extended this type of being of a person of rahmah, a person of tawadah, a person of humility to the entirety of mankind. And this is a sifa, this is an attribute, because none of us are free of need of another person. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, Inna Allah awha ilayya, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me, what? أَنْتَ وَاضَعُوا حَتَّى لَا يَفْجَرَ أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ. To show humility such that none of you transgresses, حَتَّى لَا يَفْخَرَ أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ. Until none of, such that none of you boasts upon another person. وَلَا يَبْغِيَ أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ. And none of you transgresses upon another person. And so this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed his Prophet to tell mankind in general. So these are attributes that the believer should always take on. If there's a point when the believer thinks, I'm better than someone else, or I have a right to lord it over someone else, I have a right to oppress someone simply because of my ethnic background, my nationality, my makeup, then this is not the way of the believer. Because the way of the believer is to understand that even at the level of pure physicality, we all come from one family, we come from one set of parents and one set of soul. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about this in the Quran. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from one soul. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَلَا إِنَّ رَبُّكُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنَّ أَبَاكُمْ وَاحِدٌ. O mankind, is not your Lord one? And is not your forefather or your parent one? And so this unity, when you look upon another human being, to look at them as your brother, to look at them as someone who is related to you, to look at them as someone, when you strip away the differences of ephemeral realities that are coming into this world, that you and him are very much the same at your core. To recognize that is the way of Islam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, the way of the believer is not only to take this responsibility to other creation, to other human beings, but to take this responsibility to the earth itself. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَاسْتَعْمَرَكُمْ فِيهَا. That He is the one who's produced you from the earth, and He is the one who has settled you therein. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala originally created our forefather Sayyidina Adam from the earth. That's his bodily reality. But from that, he also, from a command to him and to us, he commanded us to respect the earth and to cultivate it therein. Elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَدَّ الْأَرْضَ وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ وَأَنْهَارًا وَمِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ جَعَلَ فِيهَا زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ يُغْشِي اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارَ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And it is He who spreads the earth and has placed therein firmly set mountains and rivers. And from all of that He's made fruits, in which He's made two pairs. And then He causes the night to cover the day. Indeed, in all of this are signs for a people who are contemplative, for a people who give thought. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Quran, is informing us that we have to be people of contemplation. We have to be people of ulil, as Quran says, ulil albab, people of lub, people of hearts that are given to contemplate these ayat in the signs of the, in the cone, in the universe itself. And when we contemplate, then we understand what is it Allah wants of us. What is He asking us to engage with? And one of the things He's asking us to engage with is to understand that we are going to be held accountable for all of these ni'am, all of these blessings that He's given us. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا فَامْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورُ. That it is He who has made the earth tame for you. And He is, so walk amongst its slopes and eat of its provision. Because إِلَيْهِ النُّشُورُ, to Him comes the resurrection, in which we will be played and informed of everything that it was we did. And so at that point, you want to be someone who did something good. You want to be someone who أَدَّى الْأَمَانَةَ, who fulfilled the trust that He was given. Right? And then that, it requires that when we do something, then we always create a state of worship therein. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا فَرَغَتَ فَانْصَبْ. And so whenever you finish your duties, then hasten towards worship. In other words, this is the state of the believer. That he does something in a state of ubudiyya, and as soon as it finishes, he's up for something else in another state of ubudiyya. That he's constantly moving from one act to the other act, because he understands that that which he's going to take in the next life is these a'mal bin niyat, are these actions that were done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because kullu shay'in halik illa wajha, that every single thing is perishing, and the only thing that will be taken on the next life is that what was done li wajhihil kareem, that that which was done for his sake, only for his sake, bi ikhlas an-niyyah, bi sidq at-tawajjuh, with a true intention, with a certainty of his aspiration, his face being set to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why a person who says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that He's created mankind in a state of kabad, in a state of turmoil. But the person who recognizes what he's got is the person who in that turmoil, he invests for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his actions and his intentions for Allah. Which means what? Even if the fruits are not to be seen in this life, it doesn't stop him from acting. Because he understands that those actions are determined by the eternal dimension of what is in it for Allah. Al-a'malu suran qa'ima. That actions are like propped up images, but that which gives it spirit, that which gives it soul, is the secret of your ikhlas, your sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therein. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in qamatis sa'ah, if the last day was to come upon you, wa fi yadi ahadikum fasila, and if one of you just finds in your hand a palm cutting, a plant, a small thing that you can plant, فَنِسْتَطَعَ أَنْ لَا تَقُومَ حَتَّى يَغْرِسْهَا فَلْيَغْرِسْهَا. If you are able, it's possible for you to plant it before the hour comes, then plant it. Subhanallah. This is the last hour. This is the hour in which the earth itself will be enwrapped. And at such a point, if a person is able to make an intention for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he makes the intention for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, what does this entail? This entails that we look at our hearts. We look at what is it that we're intending for Allah. We simultaneously engage in things, but we engage in things from a position of basira, from a position of insight into where am I acting from, how much of this is really for Allah, and how much of this is for an other than Allah, whereby we want jah, we want reputation, we want fame, we want mal. And every time there's something else other than Allah, then to that degree we are people of loss. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to take this imperative on board and to start looking at ourselves. Rather, we need to start being true to ourselves. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. Rather, man against himself is a witness. And why is he a witness? Because we will all be ultimately held to account on that last day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this. He says, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اقْرَ كِتَابِكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا.
And for every person we have imposed his fate upon his neck, and we will produce for him on the day of resurrection a record, a kitab, which he will encounter spread open and be told, read your record, read your book, for sufficient is yourself against you on this day as a hasiba, as an accountant. In other words, we ourselves will be bearing witness against ourselves on that day. So hasib nafsaka qabla an tuhasib. Take yourself to account before you are taken to account, right? Hasibu anfusakum. Take yourself to account before you are taken to account. So such a person knows well that what really counts for him on that last day, which will be that which he strove for the sake of Allah. And about this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانَ إِلَّا وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى ثُمَّ يُجَزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى.
About this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that no bearer of burdens will be able to bear the burden of another.
And there is nothing, وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ مَا إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. And there is nothing for a man except that burden for which he had سَعَى, he strove for. وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. And his سَعْيَ, his striving, will be witnessed and is being witnessed. And then he will get the jaza of that which he had wafa with, that which he was truthful for. Right? He will be recompensed in accordance with that which he was deserving of. Al-jaza min jinsil amal. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to not be of those who are losers, not be of those who are in khusran mubin, in a state of loss. About such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. By the passage of time, indeed, the collective or the majority of mankind is in a state of loss. Except whom? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Except for those who believe and do good righteous deeds and advise each other upon this truth and advise each other to such patience. Why? Because they've realized that they're not placing their hopes on this world. And if they're not placing their hopes on this world, then they're not from those who are the losers. But those who place their hopes on this world are from those who are the losers. So the way of the believer, just to summarize what this khutbah is, brothers and sisters, is the one who maximizes the potential Allah has given him by maximizing his ubudiyya, by maximizing his slavehood to Allah, by making the most of his humanity, by coming to know the rububiyya, the lordship of his Lord. And he's not someone who places his vain hopes and ambitions on that which is fani, that which is going, that which is going away. Rather, he places himself on the baqi, that which is staying. And what is the baqi? That which is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow upon us from his vast bounty and generous kindness this ability to have azm, to have determination, to make tahqiq of our ubudiyya, to make realization of our slavehood, and to become real human beings thereby, those who are devoted exclusively to him. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who not only are devoutly obedient to him, but to enable us to be in service to the way of his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be in obedience and service of those he's ordered us to be in obedience to. I say this and I ask Allah for forgiveness for me and for you, so invoke him for forgiveness, for he is the most forgiving, the most merciful. And with this comes to an end this week's khutbah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.